the most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So Washington, D.C., all a buzz over Kavanaugh. And good luck. Will Kavanaugh be the new Bork'd? It will be interesting to see if Monday happens and, well, what comes out of Monday. And here to share some thoughts on that and other things going on around the world and in Washington, D.C., I've got Luke Vargas, Talk Media News. Luke, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
So the Kavanaugh thing, are we expecting Monday to come off?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of these stories where it reveals my complete inability to wrap my mind around political calculus, you know, that lawmakers in Washington feel. I mean, this seems like an easy decision that someone who is even accused or could be realistically accused of committing a crime like this, endangering the life of a woman whose fears, I think, go a long way towards representing the fears of a large share of the American population, is in no way qualified to decide, you know, the largest judicial matters in the land. Now, I do think some sort of hearing and or investigation is needed here, and if truly Mr. Kavanaugh's accuser, Dr. Christine Ford, is found to have a story that makes no sense, and that she's completely made this up, then perhaps we should go back to studying more carefully whatever merits might exist for Judge Kavanaugh. But without that, and I don't think we're going to get anything close to a proper investigation, I just don't think it's proper to put someone like this on the highest court. And I say that while keeping in mind that that does not mean Republicans need to surrender this appointment. And I know, you know, folks on the left perhaps see in these allegations against Mr. Kavanaugh a possibility of delaying this whole appointment process past the midterms into the lame duck, perhaps even into a new congressional landscape in which Democrats hold more levers of power and a conservative judge will not be appointed. Perhaps that will occur. But I think at the very least, it just boggles my mind that, you know, quote unquote, family values Republicans wouldn't or don't feel comfortable going to their constituents and saying, look, I'm determined to put someone with conservative values on the Supreme Court. But what we've learned about Judge Kavanaugh makes me seriously doubt whether he's the best person for that message. Yep. I encourage President Trump to just go. He has a list of, 25 judges? Just find the next person on the list and pick a woman off that list. There are a few women on there. And just say, this is who we'd rather have as the standard bearer. But feeling so locked into this, I just can't understand how that political calculus is reached. But that does seem to be where Senate Republicans at least are at this point.
Yeah, well, there's only one guy on the list who I think would give Trump a pass. So there's part of that that plays into this, in my view, as well.
Sure. But again, why do Senate Republicans feel that that needs to be their top priority? It may be that it's Trump's. Perhaps I don't even doubt that. Does that need to be? Does Trump's self-preservation instincts need to guide the agenda setting and message setting themes in the Supreme Court for a generation? I don't know why those two things are being conflated. But again, I concede I don't understand the impulses that drive many of these legislators. Let me just be clear. So what we're going to see on Monday, according to Chuck Grassley, who's sort of setting the framework for this quote unquote hearing, is that Kavanaugh will testify and Dr. Ford will testify. They have rejected thus far, the Senate Judiciary Republicans, appeals to have this man named Mark Judge, who is apparently a third party witness to this alleged sexual assault, testify. Chairman Grassley is saying, look, he doesn't see why that's needed. Let me just first say two people doing a he said, she said is not an investigation. That is a he said, she said, which is far, far short of an investigation.
Right.
And nor is the therapist for Dr. Ford going to be permitted to testify, someone who apparently corroborates her claims about this alleged incident. So, again, compare that to the Anita Hill hearings where 22 witnesses were called up. This is a two-person hearing. And I took particular note of another statement coming from Senate Judiciary Republicans, which was issued just a few hours ago, and basically, in my view, sought to discredit Dr. Ford by saying, look, yesterday night we asked Kavanaugh and his team if they wouldn't hop on an informal phone call with staffers on the Judiciary Committee so he could answer questions and provide clarity about this alleged incident. They basically commended him for doing that, which shouldn't merit
Yeah, that's not a slap on the back moment.
You're right.
I guess colluding with the Republicans on how the messaging is going to go and how the political theater will play out.
Exactly.
I don't know. No gold star
there. And then they condemned Dr. Ford and her legal team for not answering the request to join a phone call with staffers for Republicans on the committee that she's going to testify in front of. I don't see any situation in which a legal team preparing someone for very heated, potentially distorting testimony would agree to sort of preview her remarks so that her opponents can pick over them in advance. But that move to sort of tarnish the witness here, I think, was completely out of line. And finally, I guess I also just take issue with what Republicans on all fronts keep saying, which is that this was like an 11th hour surprise. There is no timing that is supposed to be that this whole process is supposed to follow. It's supposed to be a thorough vetting of the nominee for the Supreme Court. And to keep suggesting falsely that Democrats sat on this for their own political benefit, as opposed to what appears to be the truth, which is that it was Dr. Ford who had given this information about this incident over to her congressional representatives, but told them not to release it until a time of her choosing. I think, yes, there is some politics in here. I think Democrats are being opportunists in a way, but does that mean they are doing this wrong, that they are sullying the process, some sort of sacred process that Republicans are upholding? Not at all. These appointments are highly politicized, and I don't think I just sort of in general reject this notion that this is the 11th hour. This was a process that was deliberately rushed, but we are not, Democrats alone do not appear to be the ones responsible for sullying this once much more, sacred responsibility of the Congress.
No, which is why, again, I think someone sitting on the Supreme Court, any of these people with lifetime appointments should have a 60-vote majority. And I was against the Democrats breaking it with federal judges, and I'm dead against it with the Republicans breaking it for Supreme Court nominees. Maybe you get a more moderating force on the court as opposed to, someone who is, in my view, like Kavanaugh, is so extreme. But this last moment, this revelation, which the woman didn't want to be, outed. I got to be honest. I don't think she was ever not going to be outed. Once the anonymous letter came out, probably wasn't going to be very hard to find her. So I think she had to eventually come out. But I also don't see any gain in this for her, other than if you like being harassed on the phone, if you like death threats, if you want people picketing outside of your home, if you want hate mail, maybe that's the positive. I don't see any gain for her in this.
Yeah. I mean, more and more, I just am coming around to these calls to just change the way the Supreme Court operates. It would require a constitutional change, but I think we have a lot of constitutional changes that are long overdue. And I know a growing number of publications. I know The Economist last week writing in favor of a constitutional change to make 18-year term limits, which, if you set it up properly, a little bit like the Senate, would cause two judges to be up for appointment every presidential term. And it's not a perfect fix either, but these lifetime appointments and the process which they are now being determined just does not seem to be the right way, to put it mildly. So I'm on board for a major rethinking of how this whole very messy process is handled.
No, I'm with you on that. And there's also part of me, I'm a supporter of electoral politics. There's a part of me that says maybe that we should be electing them and for a certain amount of terms, as opposed to these these backroom deals.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, these are not like Trump's favorite people. He outsourced this as well. And so you really start thinking about who is responsible for generating the list of these names. I mean, these are think tanks and things like that. It's quite far away from the will of the people.
Yeah, good point. Let's move on. Evidently, there's some new information, newly released information, memos on why the citizenship question was to be added to the 2020 sentences. What do we know?
Yeah, this is a pretty fascinating story, and I think kind of proof of how much, the Trump White House has just thrown up more scandals than the news media and the news reading public can keep up with. This, to me, is a bombshell, and yet it's, like number 100 on the things that people have been talking about this week. But it caught my eye because the way this whole citizenship question is being added to the 2020 census sort of hinges upon some testimony that Wilbur Ross gave to Congress. He is the Commerce Secretary. He was under oath last year asking questions about why this citizenship question needed to be added. And he repeatedly said in his testimony that it was because the Department of Justice, at their initiative, was basically pounding the table on this and said, we need more data to be collected through the census to be able to enforce the Voting Rights Act, which, if you look at the way that the Department of Justice under Attorney General Jeff Sessions has handled itself, there is very little evidence to suggest they care really at all about enforcing the Voting Rights Act. In fact, they've changed basically their focus from, let's say, protecting the rights of the voting public to, let's say, protecting, Christian groups that feel like 2018 America doesn't stick up for their interests. But even so, what these new documents suggest, and this is coming out of a lawsuit filed by the Attorney General of New York, who's suing the federal government over the addition of this question. It involves a memo that has been used to be blacked out by the administration, and now a judge has ordered that it be shown to the public. And it shows memos between Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, and one of his top aides. And they are in the early stages of this administration, just, weeks after coming into the administration. Ross appears to be the one driving this, that he is having conversations, and he says to one of his aides, hey, we've got to be really diligent here in preparing the administrative record for why we do this citizenship question, because it's going to get brought to the courts. It's probably going to go to the Supreme Court. So we need as much evidence as we can to show that the government writ large wants this decision. So they write to the Justice Department, and they get back a letter, an email saying, no, actually the Justice Department does not want to add this question into the census. We think it's not good timing for us because all of this business with James Comey in the news. So they pass. Then Wilbur Ross, seeing the Justice Department doesn't want to play along, goes to the Department of Homeland Security, and they write back and say, no, it's not our job to recommend this. That's the work of the Department of Justice. Eventually, yes, the Department of Justice does send a letter backing the addition of the citizenship question. But the timeline of events really undercuts and is directly contradicted by what Ross told Congress, which is that this was, I'm going to pull up a quote here. He tells Congress that, quote, the Department of Justice initiated the request for inclusion of the citizenship question. In another one, he said he was, quote, responding solely to the Department of Justice request, and that it was the Department of Justice who was the one that made the request. These memos really undercut that. I think there is now growing evidence that suggests Ross may have perjured himself, lying in front of Congress here. The Attorney General of New York is saying that this is astonishing and unprecedented conduct for a cabinet member. She wants to depose Wilbur Ross as a part of a suit that gets underway in just a few weeks. And of course, here the stakes couldn't be higher. We talk about, you mentioned being a believer in.
Did I lose you? I guess we lost him. To me, it sounds like, he absolutely did perjure himself. And, it's kind of remarkable to me that it isn't in the front page of the news. And it's not something that we're being, shown at every opportunity. Just amazing stuff. you know, it's you know, just quite remarkable to me. I guess we got Luke back on the line. So finish this up. You were saying that, you know, I'm a believer in, I'm assuming you were going to tariffs. Where'd that end up? Yeah, I guess his line is completely done. That's very bizarre. Anyway, we're going to move along. Luke, I appreciate the time, man. Good talking with you. But, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, you got to ask the question, you know, what are they doing over there, and why aren't they holding someone accountable? Just amazing, amazing stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Radio of, for, and by We The Working People. The Rick Smith Show.